for you?
I am that I am, Adamus of Sovereign Domain. I do appreciate and thank you for allowing me into this space. I always love a good interview, and I love good, feisty questions from our listeners. And there's some other things going on here, which I'll explain as we get into this. But let's begin with the questions.
Okay, so first of all, Teo has a question for you. Adamus, greetings.
The question was, the questions are coming in so fast that that question has disappeared up the thread. I'm looking for it. The question was, is coronavirus real? And does it really exist? And when it is tested for COVID-19, what is actually tested with the test that we currently have on Earth?
Indeed. I'll answer that by saying it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if there is a coronavirus disease or not. The fact is something happened, something triggered in consciousness to cause people to believe in it, to cause them to react to it, and to cause much needed changes in so many different things on the planet. It doesn't matter if it started in a meat market in China. It doesn't matter if it was an accident in a laboratory. It doesn't matter if the aliens brought it here. None of that matters, actually. The testing for it, from what I see, is not just for a general coronavirus, but it's specifically for this particular strain. But the problem is in the testing that they're not really aware of yet is this particular strain of coronavirus mutates and changes itself so quickly that right when they think they have an understanding of its dynamics, its energetic characteristics, it will change on them. And that's going to be the biggest challenge going forward. Things will get back to a little bit what you would call normal on the planet, but this is going to be around for a while. It's going to be a fact of life. So I go back to the thing. It doesn't matter if it's a conspiracy. It doesn't matter if it's very real. And let's not focus on this. Let's focus on what's happening to the planet. And for all of you who are listening to this, it's time to focus on why you're here in this lifetime. It's not an accident. You didn't come here just to have another lifetime. It's time to reflect deeply on it. Let go of what I would call the conspiracy theories, whether it's this or anything else. Let go of anyone else's teachings at this point. Come to yourself. Why are you here? And what are you going to do with the rest of your life on this planet? So it's serving a beautiful purpose, no matter where it came from, or even if it's real or not.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we humans seem to have a lot of conspiracy theories spinning our heads out. And I always say that in every conspiracy theory, there's some truth, because otherwise it wouldn't have any legs. But my question is, what's the motive behind these conspiracy theory energies, the energies? And how do we discern what's true or not, Adamus?
Oh, indeed. What happens in a conspiracy theory is there is a huge distraction from the things that one, particularly one who's on this path to realization, should be looking at. It's a huge distraction. And like you say, it is based in some truth, but then that truth gets distorted and twisted and added on to and intensified. Then it becomes drama. Drama is a energy that people use. They feed on drama. Whether it's from a conspiracy, whether it's simply like with family members, whatever it is, drama makes one feel like they're alive. And that's why people like going into drama, even if they claim they don't. They indeed like it because it reminds them they're alive. They're not just sitting in the boredom of their everyday life. So that's the biggest thing with conspiracies. It builds drama. People love it. But drama, in a way, is like a drug. When it wears off, then you go to even a lower or emptier space than you were in before. So ultimately, conspiracy theories are a mind's way of spinning, creating drama, making you feel like you're doing something. And the fact is, I don't know any ascended mastery, and I do know all of the ascended masters, any ascended master who got to their enlightenment through drama or conspiracy, not one. But for those who are still into it, have fun with it, but just don't come around us. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm just going to stay with that for a moment, because you talk about it being a distraction.
Yes.
And we are all being bombarded right now. And I hear what you say about drama. But when we're hearing stories about underground channels, tunnels and abused children, what do we do with that information? How close does that take us in our psyches, is my question.
Yes, and I'll have to quantify that by saying that the work that I'm doing with Shambra, with the Crimson Circle, is about their realization in this lifetime. We don't focus on other things, even though these are huge issues on the planet, like the environment, like the enslaved children or any enslaved people. We simply don't take these on. I'm looking to guide, to assist a group of people who are choosing their realization. They will become standards, and a standard is one who is in there realizing that all energy is theirs, and the energy is there to serve them. For them to stay on this planet in the body, not preaching, not even necessarily teaching, but just being there for others. That light that emanates from an embodied master will change Earth more than anything else at this point. That light illuminates potentials, a potential for a cure to the coronavirus or to cancer or to economic situations. That embodied master doesn't need to actually do much of anything other than just to be there. As a matter of fact, I've said that the true master in this age, their office is a park bench or a cafe. Well, maybe not cafes right now, but where they're simply radiating their light onto the planet. And when they do, it's like filling a dark room with light. Then suddenly you see the potential. Scientists who may not be religious, spiritual, metaphysical at all, suddenly have the big aha moment, a breakthrough in the technology. That's how consciousness works. It's like a light that illuminates what otherwise is hidden. And so in answer to your question, I'm with Shambra, with Crimson Circle, we don't actively get into those things. There are many others on the planet right now who are the energy holders who do get into those. And they're very real. They're very real with, as you talked about, the tunnels and with the whole networks for child enslavement and so many other things. But I know this sounds a little bit cold, perhaps, or callous, but I'm more interested right now in a few thousand humans who have come to their realization, who are taking this time to allow their realization. It's a very natural process. It's just about allowing it. Than I am with our group getting caught up in any of these other things. There are many, many other groups who will do it. So I am absolutely committed to guiding those who are ready for their realization now. And in the past, the ascended masters who've come into the realization have done a lot of suffering, been a very long and difficult path to enlightenment. It doesn't need to be. It really doesn't need to be. And with the group I'm working with now, they're learning to get over suffering. They're learning to not have abundance issues. As strange as that seems, but abundance issue is indicative of the fact that you don't trust yourself, that you believe energy is outside of you and you're trying to get it from somewhere else and you're not letting it serve you. So they're simply, these are the things I'm working with the Crimson Circle. And I know there's many other things happening on the planet, but this is my focus.
Yeah. So everyone's feels that the end game is sort of vaccinations, but taking that thinking of what you've just been talking about forward, maybe it's about us being able to be masters of our own bodies to create an environment which, instead of a vaccination, that will work against a virus. Is that the sort of thinking you're talking about, Adamus?
Part of the issue with vaccinations is when they develop a vaccination based on what they currently know about the coronavirus, the virus will mutate and then they'll need a new vaccination. And it's kind of like going down a rabbit trail at this point. It'll provide some temporary relief. It's more about a change of consciousness will eventually, what will happen with this, and I've been looking into it very carefully, what will eventually happen is it will just, as quickly as it appeared on the planet, it will disappear as quickly. And there'll be many, many theories about why it suddenly left. But the fact is that the light of consciousness was enough to allow a rebalancing of many things on the planet, and there's no need for it anymore. Yeah. So I'd have to say that even though there's a tremendous surge in the science and the technology to understand it, ultimately it's just going to fade one day, surprising many people.
Adamus, there's so many questions coming in, but Rocio has asked, how could we use the opportunity of the pandemia to speed the awareness of consciousness? What is your advice, please?
In a way, it's very interesting. I talked recently in one of our gatherings, I called it a convergence. Many things converging at one time. It's unprecedented on this planet to have this many people at home, not going out. I mean, and who could have thought of such a scheme? Not even the best science fiction writer wouldn't have believed that this type of thing could happen. So many people are going within. Now, some will not be able to handle it very well. They'll drive themselves or others crazy. And some would simply choose to leave the planet because they cannot stand having to be by themselves, with themselves. So we have that convergence of people at home. At the same time, back in towards the end of last year, this thing I call the Order of the Ark closed. It was the portal, the gateway for the angelic beings to come to this planet. It's been in existence as long as the planet has been. And that was closed. It was literally the representatives of all the 144,000 angelic families. At the same time, not so long ago, April 4th, all entities in all of creation, other than those who were in human form, all entities were called back to their angelic families. And in this calling back, the announcement went out through all of creation that the angelic families were disbanding. There was no need for them anymore. So now look at all of these events happening at the same time, as well as Gaia leaving. It won't happen overnight, but all these things are shifting and changing right now. It's perhaps the best opportunity that I've ever seen in all my lifetimes, and now as an ascended master, of making consciousness shifts within yourself. Don't do it in groups. I'm not at all a fan of global meditations, and you can ask me another time why not, or global prayer, any of that. What you do is have so many conflicting interests and other things going on. It's simply just a bunch of noise. Now is the time for each and every one of you to go within yourself and ask this simple question: why am I here? And then listen and feel for the answer. Listen, when I say listen, it's not like you're necessarily going to get words, but why am I here? How can I be in my passion right now? And then be quiet and feel it. Take days, take weeks, take months even to feel it. Why am I here? Reconnect with yourself, with what I call the master that's already in. The master that's within you is all the wisdom of all your lifetimes, and it's there. But this human, it hasn't been tapped into it. Now is the time, more than any, to tap into that part of yourself. Not into any other angelic being, not even into me, not into spirit guides or anything like that. Come back to yourself, to that sacred place of you. Don't rely right now. Don't go get distracted by anything on the outside, because it is all within you. And when you allow that without fear, when you allow that, you reconnect, and that's when you start coming to your realization.
And what an amazing opportunity right now, just to listen. There's
never been a time like this. Don't let this pass. You've got basically through the end of August, each and every one of you, the end of August, and don't wait till August 26th to start listening now. You've got the spring and the summer months ahead of you. It is an ideal time. It's like a gift you gave yourself, but maybe you just don't realize yet it's a gift. It's there.
Thank you. So with regard to the film, just jumping forward in time, the film was all about dreaming ourselves awake and manifesting the type of world that we want to live in, a new reality, a new now. So what advice do you have for those who are in the process of awakening in the world and for them to dream about creating their utopia?
In awakening, it's a very, very personal thing, very personal. Now, I've stated that the planet is awakening, but meaning there are many, many individuals on the planet. In your awakening, and again, right now is the ideal time, understand that there are going to be tremendous changes, and it's not what you necessarily thought it was. There is a lot of letting go, but there's one important point, well, several important points, but first of all, don't get distracted. I call it macchio. I call it at times spiritual bullshit. Don't get distracted. Always come back to yourself. You already have the answers. There's every one of you, you already have the answers. It's in your energy, but you don't believe that the energy is yours. You believe that it's somewhere else. You don't believe that energy serves you, which it does. So come back to that. It's already all there. And now it's just about allowing it. The awakening can be exhilarating at first and extremely challenging later on. You're going to have ups and downs, cycles as you go through awakening into mastery. Allow those cycles because they're important. It builds a momentum for each and every one of you that will carry you into embodied mastery on the planet. Ultimately, what you're going to face, perhaps the last thing before realization, is a releasing of your guilt and shame. Well, it's the biggest human sticking point, guilt and shame. Not just guilt and shame for stealing or lying or things like that. The guilt and shame for having gotten lost here on the planet. The guilt and shame for becoming tied into cycles of lifetimes in the physical body and not being able to get out of it. The guilt and shame of taking so long to resolve the core issues why Earth was created in the first place. You come to a point where it's about letting go of that guilt and shame. That's one of the last things you'll do before realization, and it's the most difficult. If you feel into yourself, you find reasons even to hold on to guilt and shame. And ultimately, in this very, very personal thing of awakening, it's about letting go of that. Once you're clear of the many, many levels that you're not even aware of guilt and shame, then you gracefully go into your realization. But awakening, it's a beautiful thing. It's a very difficult thing. Ultimately, it's an extremely personal thing. You can't do it in a group. There are groups such as the Crimson Circle who can provide information, or more than anything, they just provide stories. And when you hear their stories, you realize that you also can do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Adamus, what are the practical steps to letting go of guilt and shame? Because I would imagine there's a lot of people sitting there thinking, that sounds wonderful, but how do I go about doing that?
I'm hesitant to answer that in a very short session like this, but I'll give it a try. First of all, the human cannot forgive itself. And that's the common mistake, is you try to forgive yourself. You simply can't, because you don't trust or believe yourself. Ultimately, it's about receiving forgiveness from the I am, what some people would call the soul, from the I am that you are. The I am, the soul, has never judged anything. You've never done anything wrong. It's never wanted you to have a good day nor a bad day. It doesn't really care. but it's receiving that forgiveness. It's like somebody handing you a platter of goodness, of riches, of wealth, of acceptance, of love, and everything else. And typically you'd say, well, yes, I'll gladly accept that. But, well, it sounds like a great idea right at first. Then you instantly, the human gets overcome with guilt. Do I really deserve it? Am I ready for it? Have I earned it? What about other people? Maybe I should share it with them. And then once again, you get locked up in this whole issue of guilt and shame. There's no easy way to describe it talking right now, but understand it's receiving it, not from an outside God, not from archangels or anything else. It's about receiving it from your soul, the complete forgiveness for all things, because ultimately you haven't done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
What's the importance then of joy?
I'm hearing a noise here on this one from your viewers. A lot of noise, them saying that, well, certainly there are things that are wrong. It isn't murder wrong. Stop thinking like a human. Feel into the I am. Stop finding excuses to justify feeling guilt and shame for things. And it's personal. I'm not saying this is a planetary thing. It's a very personal thing, your guilt and shame. Go ahead. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Can you also then talk to us about the opposite of the importance of holding the frequency of joy and fun and laughter in one's body, to the point where the only way I can describe it for myself is where every little cell is like a little sun, which came to me recently in a meditation. So you just shine. Just by shining your light, you almost don't have to do anything. But no, it's holding that frequency. Can you talk about that, please?
Indeed, and I'll refer to what I talk about. The last thing you do before realization, what's the last thing a person should do before realization is nothing. In other words, the human actually cannot do realization or enlightenment. I'll use that term your viewers are more familiar with. You can't. As a human, you cannot do it. You can study it. You can pretend that you're doing it. You can go through all sorts of disciplines and methods and everything else, but you can't. It's actually really not human that desires enlightenment. The human actually, given what it's here for, the human is here for experience, to experience life. And it would just keep experiencing and keep going into more and more lifetimes. So the human can't do enlightenment, but the human can allow it. The human can just stop all the mental noise, all the trying to figure things out, all the jibber-jabber in the brain, and the human can just take a good couple of deep breaths and allow it. And that's the most important thing, is just allowing. When you do, suddenly you realize every cell in your body is filled with light and joy. You don't have to create it from the human mind. It's like I'm not at all a fan of things like affirmations or positive mental thinking. It doesn't work ultimately. It's about allowing. And I can hear so many people getting upset with me right now, and I love it. I love it because we're going to shake things up a bit. No, the human would continue with its drama. It would continue lifetimes. It would continue experiencing. That is the role of the human in this kind of a trinity of the I am. It's the I am the master, which is the wisdom of all the lifetimes, and the human. The human is the one that experiences. So basically, it's about stopping all the noise that's going on, dear human, and just allow. Realization, enlightenment is a natural process, natural. And you don't even have, I just recently did, a cloud class where they filmed, and it's going to be released soon, called Pathways to Realization. You don't have to be spiritual to have enlightenment. There are many other pathways. And one of the pathways is trauma. A good trauma can just rocket you right away into enlightenment. Near death is a great way to bring you to enlightenment, because you suddenly realize the value of life. there's many, many different pathways, and it's not just spiritual. So as I've told the Crimson Circle group, you're not a spiritual group at all. You're a group about consciousness.
Fabulous.
Yes, and did the viewership just drop? Was I talking here?
Yeah.
No, across all three platforms, we currently have 1,257 people watching. So that hasn't dropped off at all.
Okay. I feel a lot of people getting rattled. I have to say something I was going to mention at the beginning. I didn't. So there's somebody that is, I guess they've had some past life experiences with me. They don't like me very much. So they're sending out all, they intentionally came here to send all the dark energy and to shoot it at me and to dear Linda, who's so innocent, and Caldra, who's not as innocent, and to shoot all this negative dark energy. I just have to remind you of something, my dear one, who is doing this. It's like witchcraft and black magic. If you shoot that out at somebody, it's like a big mirror. It goes right back on you. So don't be so naive to be doing that. You're only hurting yourself. And to conscious ones, hopefully Caldra and Linda, I call Jeffrey Caldra. It's just energy. And it's just energy. They're not going to use it to take it as dark or negative or light even. It's just energy. So you're really just sending them all sorts of energy. So would you please knock it off now? Thank you. Everybody, you could feel it. It was irritating. And so good. Let's move on.
Good. Moving on. Teo, got anything?
There's lots of questions here. I'm just looking. Let's ask Patty. Adamus, what is the main purpose of this situation?
The coronavirus situation. Changing the planet. Changing the planet. It's economic, primarily because the economy on this planet is really what causes it to run. Money, the economy is energy. So it's changing, ultimately will change people's understanding of energy. And this is such a good time, too, for all of you to stop blaming energy imbalances on other things and other people. It's a great time to stop being upset about big corporations or any of that. They're all just a reflection of human consciousness, and they're not out to get you. You are entitled to your own energy. You have it. It's there. Stop blaming it on other things, even blaming it on your family, that you're born and raised into a poor family, or that your spouse took all the money in a divorce, or that your business partner cheated you. Let's knock all that off. Let's get back to the understanding all energy is yours. And some of you are going to have a really hard time with that. Everything you perceive, everything you see, everything that you're aware of in this moment is your energy. It's not anybody else's. And it's all yours, and it's all there to serve you. So let's use this occasion on this planet, unprecedented occasion, to change the perspective. It's your energy. How would you like it to serve you? Stop blaming others.
Nice.
There's a question here then that feeds on nicely from that about the letting go of the guilt and the shame. And Sandra says, so I feel I could have been a better parent. I've been angry and I've been ungrateful, and they're all judgments on myself. Is my role now to simply accept all that I've done without judgment and accept the forgiveness from my soul?
That'd be my vote. Absolutely. Well, unless you want to keep going like you're going. And if you want to, fine. But it's time for anybody with a degree of consciousness to just stop carrying karma around. Stop going from lifetime to lifetime, carrying this burden of guilt and shame. If your soul, your I am, does not judge you for anything, and it doesn't, no way. If your soul doesn't judge you, then why are you judging yourself? It's kind of like a self-inflicted torture. You can get off of it at any time. You can stop it at any moment if you choose. But now you're going to go through this whole mental thing saying, well, how do I do that? And what ritual do I use? And how do I get rid of my karma? And what healer and teacher and Do I need to go to? No, stop all that. Just take a deep breath and say, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. And now it's time for me to allow my realization. It's that simple. And then go about your life. It's so easy for the humans to get caught up in what should I be doing? And do I have to pray in a certain way or meditate in a certain way? Do I have to be a vegetarian? None of that. None of that. It's about allowing at the deepest levels of yourself. Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay.
Thank you. Let's take the most recent question. Sophie says, what is your point of view on our educational systems, and what do you think is best?
Oh, there'll be a lot that's learned about the educational systems through this whole coronavirus. It'd be amazing how the tentacles of all this virus affect so many different areas, but education itself will change. That, and along with technology, there'll be market changes in these coming years to realize that there are such better ways to teach. The current educational system is 175 years old without any real changes, and that's going to change. Self-paced learning, more at-home learning, still going to school at times, but more at-home learning, and the wonderful assistance of technology to really make the student feel comfortable with their own personal way of learning. And they're going to find out, too, just from a financial or budget standpoint, that all the overheads of the schools, the way they've been doing it, is going to be, a lot of it's going to be unnecessary.
Brilliant. There was a question earlier, Adama.
Then humans will stop having so many children because the children will be at home and the parents will have to take care of them. So now we'll have a little bit of quieting in the population growth.
There was a question earlier, Adamus, which was, I think you had said previously that it would be technology that can ultimately help to rebalance this situation, current situation. What did you mean by that?
Well, technology is the most important, the biggest factor in just about anything in the human lives on the planet right now. It's the overriding factor in everything. Now, the coronavirus, of course, is primarily economic, but in the long run, it's the technology that's the biggest thing that's happening on the planet. So technology is going to change everything, whether it's education, healthcare, whether it's entertainment or anything. Artificial intelligence is going to be changing the world. We'll come to a point of general artificial intelligence in the next few years on the planet, which means that the computer technology will have the capability of a human mind. Then super artificial intelligence in the next 15 to 20 years, which means the computer capability will far exceed the human mental capability. We're at a time right now when you're at the very beginning of a whole new species of humans on the planet because of technology and its abilities, whether it's implants or nanotechnology, biotechnology. It's literally going to change the human species the fastest that it's ever done. It's a super evolution that's occurring. So in terms of the question about technology, it's going to change every aspect of life. Technology is not a negative thing. It could be used negatively, of course. It's not a negative thing. But the very reason why I'm here working with this group who is in the Crimson Circle right now, numbers are not large, and nor are we trying to make them large, is because this is the time for consciousness to be on the planet to basically balance and to mellow the technology that's advancing so rapidly right now. These ones that I work with came here, deliberately chose this lifetime, this time to be here, to be the ones who bring consciousness at the time of technology. Without it, the technology could go awry. It could have been the end of the planet Earth because somebody would have figured out a technology that would have basically gobbled up the Earth. But with enough here on the planet who are in consciousness, the technology will actually assist the humans and help develop the new species. Sometimes I jokingly refer to it as the Robo Sapiens.
And when you say the newly evolved beings, are you particularly talking about the youth here, or the potential for everyone?
Of technology?
Yeah.
Oh, for everyone. Technology. The beautiful thing about technology right now is it becomes cheaper and cheaper, faster and faster. It's a very democratic thing that's occurring. All over the world, look at the proliferation of smartphones around the world, whether it's a third world country or an advanced country, everybody has about the same capability in the palm of their hands. So it's very democratic. Now it depends on what you're going to do with that technology.
There's a good question that's come in here, Adamus, for it says technology. Would it not be better for us as humans to understand the health hazards of the frequencies and the potential human enslavement via technology?
Anytime you have such a potent tool, in this case, technology, it can be used for good, it can be used for bad, and it can be used for enslavement. But ultimately, what I see is the technology, since most people are not of that consciousness, the technology will actually reveal the enslavers rather than encouraging more of them. The technology is going to be used as a light. And that's, again, why it's so important for the ones I work with to be here right now to shine that light, because the technology can be a brilliant light for this planet, or it could possibly be a huge darkness. But I do not see it going that way at this time. There's too much consciousness on the planet right now. And on top of that, just to add to it, recently, any alien beings who were interfering with the planet, and there have been, they don't fly around in little metal spaceships, but they were interfering with the planet for quite a long time. They can no longer interfere. So there's a tremendous amount of interference, everything from businesses to governments, and many people not even aware of these outside interferences from the alien beings. They are no longer able to interfere with the planet. The good news now is that humans are on their own. They have to make their own decision, but now you won't have that alien interference.
Can I ask you on that question, how you see, Adamus, the future with our governments and politicians and the whole way that we vote? And it's just become so oppressive around the world, from us being able to be, you know, our true sovereign selves. Do you see a time in the future when we will sit maybe like indigenous people more in council, or it can't continue the way it is? What do you see?
Ultimately, government or businesses are a reflection of the consciousness of the planet. As the consciousness changes, you're going to have what I would call much more conscious leaders. These new leaders are going to realize that that power is an illusion, power is an old game on the planet, and they simply won't tolerate it. And enough humans will go along with it that will get out of the old power modes that the planet has been in for a long, long time. Power is real if you believe in it, but ultimately it's an illusion. It doesn't exist anywhere other than in your mind. There are going to be so many changes taking place over the next decade or even much less, over the next couple of years, as a result of technology and coronavirus. It was a perfect convergence, and not an accident, a perfect convergence at the time of consciousness on this planet to have these great changes without, as dear Linda mentioned, without wars, without it being just affecting certain countries. It's affecting everyone everywhere. It's again, this coronavirus in itself is very democratic.
Thank you.
You live, all of you live at the greatest time on the planet. And I know it's scary. If you knew how the story ended, then you wouldn't be so frightened. So I'd suggest you all do something. And it's very easy to do. What you do is you call in your future self. And you have your future self. Now, the future self doesn't know all the details nor care about them, but the future self knows that it all works out. There's not a fate or a destiny, that things are predetermined. But the future self is already in the future. It knows how beautifully things turn out. And bring that in, not for the globe. Please let go of the trying to save the whole damn planet type of thing. Everybody right now, do it for yourself. Call in the future self, and it will tell you, you will tell yourself how wonderfully it works out. And then the future self is going to also remind you, don't be in fear. Be in experience, but not in fear. And now's not the time for hiding anymore. Now's the time to come out and be all who you truly are. Thank you. Two more questions.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have one about my mum, so if you want to ask, I'll do leave that till last.
Yes, that could be the third then.
Thank you. So
there's so many questions coming, it's really hard to keep up, but let's go to a recent one. So Adamus, this time into August is a time to be focused within and our own inner journey. And then are you saying that the shifting of the planet is an inside job for each of us working within and focusing on our journey, does the work for the future?
Yes, this is the time right now of reflection, of your inner reflection. It's kind of, all of you set it up as this time for the potential to connect with yourself, reconnect. And most of you don't have that real connection with the master within, with I am. Now is the most beautiful time. The planet is quiet. You kind of set this up in advance as the perfect opportunity. And that's why I say, don't make any big life-changing decisions right now. Be open, listen, and allow. Now is not the time to decide to leave your partner or to quit a business or a job or anything else like that, or to move. Right now is a time of allowing wisdom to come into your life. And wisdom goes far, far beyond intelligence any day. So that's really what you're doing, is allowing the wisdom to come in. And just be with it. Don't even question how much wisdom has come in, or are you doing the wisdomizing correctly? Just take a deep breath and allow, and it's going to be there.
Thank you. So let's go to the last question that's come in here from Yolanda. It says, so on the one hand, we sit in and allow ourselves to make space.
Yes.
The question disappears up the scroll because it's coming. They're coming in so fast. Here we go. I'll bring it up. So on the one hand, we sit in and allow ourselves to make space for our own purpose here. But if you feel called to stand up against suppression in the very near future, should we stand up?
That's a good question. And I'm going to address that to the ones I work with in the Crimson Circle, or it's not a club or a group, but in the work we do, no, now is not the time to take up arms, to take up battle. I've told our group in the past, let all of your causes be gone. All of your causes, the causes, whether it's save the world, save the whales, save the trees, save humanity, it is a huge distraction in these final moments before your realization. Now is all about you. Some of you are going to have a hard time with that because you're planet savers, and it's been, or you were energy holders for a long time, and you feel so compelled to, you have to take up arms, and that's what it is. And you justify your causes, your light workers. That's a cause. Let it go. There's no light or dark anyway. So what are you fighting? You're tilting at windmills here. For those of you who are truly serious about your embodied realization, and I don't care if you are or you aren't, but if you are coming into your enlightenment in this lifetime, you let go of all those causes. You stop trying to change everything else, including your own family members. you stop trying to rise up against oppression, all the rest of that, because ultimately, if you do that right now, you're just going to get caught in the noise. You're going to get caught in a battle. The battle of light and dark can never be won by either side. Ultimately, the greatest thing you can do is allow your enlightenment and then just radiate your consciousness to the planet. When you do that, it illuminates the higher potentials that humans cannot see right now. It illuminates them to the ones who are researchers and physicists and scientists and teachers and preachers and everybody else who didn't realize there are so many more potentials. Let them then go do the work to bring those potentials in. You've done your job. You've illuminated potentials. That's it. So in answer to your question, it depends where you are. If you are truly committed to your enlightenment in this lifetime, let go of all causes. And it's going to feel selfish at first. You're going to think, oh, I need to be taking other care. No, take care of yourself and yourself alone. It's the greatest thing you can do for the planet is to take care of yourself. If you're still into causes, you still like battles, light against dark, rich against poor, masculine against feminine, go have your fun, but neither side will ever, ever win. Period. Thank you.
Such and a now, great answer.
And that's why people don't like me, because it's the hardest thing to do is to be within yourself, to be all that you are. It's like, no, I got to go grab my sword and go fight another battle.
I have to do something.
Yeah, I have to do something. I have to save the planet. It doesn't actually really get the planet anywhere. And more importantly, there are others in their evolution. There are others who will do that job. It's part of their, it's part of their evolution. You came from that world where you were the cause fighters, who were working against oppression, or you were working for the environment. You came from that background, but now it's time for you to really allow yourself. And if that doesn't sound right, and if you're upset with it, that's fine. But that's not why this group is here.
Well, I'm very happy to hear about the happy ending that's awaiting us. I think a lot of people need that hope.
Mm, indeed. Oh, the planet is these next few years are going to be rough, but the planet will emerge from this in a very beautiful way. And the ones who really want to stay in drama and want to stay in their battles, they'll simply leave the planet, they won't. It's hard to say this. They'll be operating in a different dimensional reality than others. They'll be allowed to. You want to continue battles and drama and everything else, you're allowed to. But this planet, for the most part, is going to move on. Good.
Thank you.
Nikki, do you want to say your
question? Yeah, I do. I do, and I don't really necessarily know what my question is. Just before I came on this call, my mother is maybe hours away from passing. She knows she's passing and wants it to come soon. She's 91, had a good innings, Adamus. But what I've seen over the last week, and maybe it's one of the hardest things for us humans to do, you've been talking about allowing. And how do you allow your death? Is it only comes when it's your time? Can you ask for it and say, I'm done, okay, I'm out of here? And does it happen? Maybe you could just talk to me a little bit about that. And this is my mum, who I'd love everyone to send very beautiful prayers of just, she passes easily. That would be lovely.
Yes, and truly, every human has the right to choose their date and time of their death. I think it's despicable that people lay in hospital beds for years and years and years. There's no quality of life. And literally a lot of the spirit has already gone to the other side. It's just a little bit of, you could say, spirit flame left in the body and the mind, afraid to let go. When somebody like your mom is at this stage, you know it's inevitable that she's going to cross over. It's not like there's a chance that she's come back and have a full life. And the best thing to do is, I really discourage praying. It's like black magic, voodoo. And you know, I listen to prayers from the other realms, and they're so sad, and they really hold one back, actually. So right now is a time of joyful release, and saying, hey, good life, time to go to the other side, and time to get a little rejuvenation and relaxation. For you personally, Nikki, as you've been doing, just guide her. Go to her energetically. Go to her and be there with her and say, let's go for a walk. I'm going to be here with you on this walk. And we'll go to the other realms, which is really much more your home than right here on Earth. And I'll be here with you until you find your place, and then I'll return back to my physical body on Earth. So take her for a dream walk. But don't get lost out in the other realms.
I won't.
Yeah.
I have done a couple of rehearsals with her, taking her up through the tunnel of light and handing her over. And yeah, I said, if it's not happening now, then it's a great rehearsal for when you do go past.
And it's just for her to know that you're there beside her. Don't drag her into some tunnel and light or anything like that. Just be with her. You're going to find she's already wandering out there right now. Just go connect with her. And just walk with her like you were taking a walk through the park, but not telling her where to go, how fast to go. Just the reassurance that somebody else is there with her is so beautiful. And then at some point, she'll be met by others who are already on the other realms that she knows quite well. And then she'll kind of forget about you for a little while.
Fabulous. Yeah. Thank you so much, Adamus.
Indeed.
Really beautiful to talk to you again.
Such a delight to be here with each and every one of you. And I do hope I have annoyed and provoked and stimulated so many of you. With that, I am Adamus of Sovereign Domain.
Uh-huh. So we'll just wait for Jeffrey to come out. Teo,
Nikki, would you share the name of your mum? Because I know there's so many people who would like to put up positive thoughts for her, for her easy transition.
Just easy transition. Her name is Marion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's a lot of people asking whether this will be replayed because they've come in late. The answer is yes, on the Facebook page, on the Facebook group, on the YouTube channel. You can go to them at any time and you can watch. If you click on the videos tab, they will be available to watch at any time. And I would just like to put up this banner here for Jeffrey and Linda, so that those of you that are interested to find out more about the work of Jeffrey, Linda, the Crimson Circle, you can go to their website, crimsoncircle.com, and they have a Facebook group too as well, which is facebook.com/thecrimsoncircle. And Jeffrey, you and Linda do monthly talks from Adamus, which are free to watch. Is that correct?
We do monthly webcasts.
Correct. The first Saturday of every month, except we always take 1 month off, but the first Saturday of every month.
And they're free?
Absolutely. And two sessions, usually some updates to our audience, and then Adamus always with a new message there to support us on this journey.
We have a beautiful studio back in Colorado, really high-tech production studio. We also have a little bit smaller version here on the island. We're going to be doing our next monthly webcast here. I think it's May 2nd, but our production crew isn't here. So we're going to kind of do it like this with a laptop and not the big production.
And it works.
it's remarkable. It's amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it really does. So I just want to say a huge thank you to you both for your support. I've only known you for the last 3 years, but your support of Nikki and the project over the last, 11 years of, and the beautiful gift that you gave us with Tobias's channeling for the story of Time of the Sixth Sun. For those of you that haven't seen Time of the Sixth Sun yet and you'd like to see it, you're able to do so. You've just got to go to timeofthesixthsunmovie.com, and it's available video on demand for just $4.95. And as Nikki said earlier, this thing has cost us well over £700,000 to make. $4.95 doesn't go a long way to chipping into that. We're nowhere near breaking even. So if you have watched it before and you'd like to support us and you can watch it again, even just for $4.95, that would be wonderful. And when you go to that website as well, there's also the digital access package where there's a whole 48-minute interview that Nikki does with Jeffrey about what it's like to be a trans channel, which is fantastic. That's the 8th episode of our documentary series, of which there are 8. And the last thing to announce is that, is it Monday? We've got Yeva with us, Nikki?
I think it's Lynn Franks on Monday. I'll remember.
We'll announce it, but we've got next week we have Lynn Franks and we've got the wonderful Ukwala who sat on the sofa with us for sofa chats every single evening. So we're going to be doing one of these next Monday and next Thursday as well. So if you've enjoyed this, please keep an eye on our Facebook page, our Facebook group. And is there anything you'd like to say finally, Nikki?
No, just really my thanks to Linda and Jeffrey. And, you know, I'm totally in my heart, I'm Chambra, which is Crimson Circle family. And it's such a beautiful family. I've been to, I think, 3 or 4 of your annual gatherings. And it's incredible work. And it's just beautiful to spend time with really like-minded, conscious souls. So thank you. Thank you so much for doing this for us.
Thank
and
you.
I'm one of your fans, Adamus. You can shout at me. You never do, but you can.
And now, with all the content you have, the Time of the Sixth Sun and the related materials, with everybody sitting at home, what a great time to watch it.
What a beautiful time.
Yeah, yeah.
Great opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think how great for families to actually sit down with their kids and watch. I mean, Teo's had an experience with his boys, who are, what age, 8 and 10? 7
yeah,
and 10?
That's be 8 and 11, yeah.
8 and 11. And they're, you know, they love to sit and watch it. And I know a lot of families who do. So it's what great stuff to give kids.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Enjoyed being here with you. I guess this is the new normal. We'll just connect, you know, like this on our laptops.
Yes. If you want to just stay on, Jeffrey, but we'll shut it down now. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you to every single one of you. At peak tonight, there was over 1,250 people watching, which is the most we've ever had on any broadcast we've ever done. So thank you to each and every one of you for giving up your time. And I hope you found this valuable. And join us next week on Monday and Thursday evening as well. And with that, we bid you a good night from the United Kingdom, a good morning from the beautiful island of Hawaii, and good day, evening, morning, night, wherever you are watching us in the world. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.